Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Episode of the Run and Plays podcast. I'm Kareth Burke, joined again by Grant Lisbon. How are you, Grant?
Good. Thank you very much for asking.
Good. I got a little text from you a couple hours ago, and it said Russell Westbrook is positive for COVID-19. So he did not travel from Houston to Orlando. I remember like Sham sent out something. I re-looked it up. It was on June 9th. Russell Westbrook and James Harden did not travel to Houston. So we know one of the reasons why for Russ.
Right.
And now, of course, the speculation is, well, wait a minute. Does that mean James Harden also has something? There has been no news at the time of this recording about James Harden, why he's not in Orlando yet. But, man, what was your reaction when you heard that Russ is in quarantine with COVID-19?
I mean, well, first of all, just to specify, you said June 9th. It was July 9th.
Thank you.
Pardon. Yeah. People are going to be like, wow, they went out that early?
No, you're right. Yeah. Well, listen, what day is it? Yeah. I have no idea. So thank you for that correction.
I don't even know who I am anymore.
Yes, but today's Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Where am I? So I'm in some void that has this. I don't know. It was obviously big news. And the first thing the reaction everyone says is, told you the bubble's going to fail. Okay, everyone, let's just hear me out. He was not in the bubble. This is what happens. Yeah. People outside the bubble are getting sick at alarming rates, right? So if anything, I guess this is a pro-bubble thing in that he wasn't in the bubble and they stopped him from coming to the bubble because they knew he was sick. So I'm not saying the bubble's going to work, but the fact is, Russ, I mean, I truly, on a human level, I truly hope he's okay and he's healthy, and I hope he didn't spread it to friends and family, and hopefully everyone's fine. It's same with James Harden. There's also another guy that there's rumors flying around about, just because Bam Adebayo from the Heat is not there yet, and people don't know why. So when you hear that, you start wondering, and in the past you're like, oh, is it them maybe considering not going or kind of thinking about their other options? Or now that Russ's results came out, you start speculating, maybe they have coronavirus. But either way, it's not in the bubble. So for everyone saying, told you it'd fail, not yet. Didn't fail yet.
Yet. Yeah. Yet. Okay, I understand that caution, because my first thought was, oh my goodness, he got it in the bubble. Or, you know, and I do understand your point that the bubble might be a very safe place to be because of the degree of testing you need to even get there in the first place, the daily testing that's occurring for people who are already there, reporters among them. I was worried that he had it in the bubble. I am still concerned that cities all across America are seeing rises in cases, and now we're going to pluck people from 30 NBA teams, well, 22 that is, and put them down in Orlando. That is a concern. And then also regarding speculation about people's health, that's something that's really troubling me right now, because somebody's health in ordinary circumstances is totally their business, right? So if you're wondering like, oh shoot, if Russ has it and he's not there, and if James Harden isn't there, does that mean he has it? We just don't know at this time. And ordinarily things about your health are incredibly private. Now, when fans notice a player's not there, and when they're paying attention to their favorite teams and their favorite players, I understand the curiosity, but this whole thing just makes me so uncomfortable that players would have to release a statement about, yeah, I have this thing, or like if they're considering going or not going for personal reasons, those reasons might be, you know, my wife has a respiratory issue, or I have asthma, or I have diabetes. It's like usually things that you can manage in private without people getting an open look at what you discuss with your doctor, right? Fans are not usually a part of conversations that you would have with healthcare providers. So this, it just feels so sticky. And I'm really uncomfortable by this speculation of like who has it and who doesn't. And then the human side, as you mentioned, I'm happy we're talking about the human side. Just because somebody has COVID and then you believe they recover does not mean that they wouldn't have any long-term issues that they're dealing with. Remember, we talked about on a previous episode, Rudy Gobert talking about how it's been 3 months since he's had his sense of smell be 100%. It's not 100% right now. So there are going to be long-term effects of varying severity that we don't even know yet because there are still some unknowns about coronavirus. This whole thing just has me queasy, Grant. I'm really uncomfortable here.
Yeah, I understand everything you're saying. Now, in a weird world, I mean, if you really think about it, generally speaking, we actually always really do know one of these players' medical situation. Just in general, though, if you really think about it, L is required to let you know what the person's injury is or illness is going into a game, because that's part of sports betting and all this. So generally speaking, we actually do know these things usually. In the past, they would say flu-like symptoms and it wouldn't be exactly what they have, and maybe they reveal it later. If it's an injury, a broken bone, a fracture, anything like that, a tear, yeah, you know exactly what it is because there's a rehab process, whatever. I think as what you're saying, the biggest difference is that families are getting involved now. And these are stuff that you never had to disclose in the past. Sure, if you say my newborn is ill and I that's the reason I'm out. Yeah, you hear that.
Or just having newborns in the first
place. Yeah, having a baby.
It's hard to be away from your family in a bubble.
Right, and that's stuff that you just necessarily didn't have to share with people where you say, these are my priorities. Not that they're bad or people shouldn't ever judge those things, but they do. But priorities, you know, you never really had to share that. Your priorities were always to the game, nothing else. So, yeah. And the speculation part, I mean, we've just never really fully dove into something where we're talking about disease as speculation. There's speculation that someone twists their ankle and they leave the game and everyone goes, oh, I'm going to be a Twitter doctor. Or I'm going to say he tore this, this, and this. And that's the speculation, right? And you wait a day to find out what really happened. But disease, I can't remember the last time we were all speculating on who did it, how'd they get it, who'd they spread it to. That's just playing with fire.
Yeah. You know, maybe if there were more Twitter doctors, those people could say, wear masks. How about that? Or, and I also don't want to assign blame to anybody. Like, I don't think I'm going to say like, well, Russ must have been doing something wrong if he caught the Rona. I don't think so. This is highly contagious no matter what steps you take. That's why it's important that everybody takes the same kind of steps. I was also following a story in the WNBA. There's a New York Liberty guard named Asia Durr. She opted out. She had COVID in June and described getting her health back as complicated and arduous. So like an ongoing thing, even though she caught it last month. So this idea that it might go away in 2 weeks and then you'll be fine. Case by case basis, I don't know what fine looks like. And athletes are starting to open up about that should they choose to disclose what they're going through. WNBA, by the way, I know it's awkward segue here. Excited it's gonna be back. The WNBA is back on July 25th. The first game is the New York Liberty versus the Seattle Storm. So that's gonna be Sabrina Ionescu's national debut, her rookie season as a member of the Liberty. It's at noon on ESPN on July 25th. So there's just so much going on with the league. The WNBA has had some players opt out because of health concerns. They've had a couple opt out for social justice reasons. But sports are coming. Sports are coming back, whether athletes are feeling conflicted about that or not, whether they feel like they had a choice to be there or not. But there's also that spirit of competition and wanting to be with your teammates and wanting to do your job. So there's just such a swirl of emotions. I know that's how I'm reacting to this, how much I love sports, but wondering, you know, is it worth it for the people playing it? I just want everybody to be healthy. I really hope this bubble works. I don't want to see people get sick unnecessarily.
Yeah. And I am with you, and we've talked about it at great lengths, how much we worry about this and is it right or wrong? The majority of the people that are doing this and playing sports, it is their choice. They have a choice to go. Is the choice between getting paid and not paid? Yes. Is it different for other employees that aren't the athletes? Absolutely. And their choices might be a lot different. But if we're specifically talking about the athletes, technically speaking, it is their choice. So they are adults that also can make this decision, and they have a lot of pressures on the outside of them, but they aren't necessarily being forced into this situation. So for those that go, I'm just, because I'm hearing a lot of talk out there as well, the NBA making these guys do this for money and blah, blah, blah. Well, everyone who's involved in the money part are getting money. So just talking about the athletes, Kareth, just talking about the athletes, because okay. There are plenty of Disney World employees, members of the team staff that can't just be like, you know what? I don't feel like going. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, that could have repercussions on your career, which yeah. kind of makes me wonder, okay, how much really is this a choice? But keep
for,
going.
But for athletes, I'm speaking. So it depends on the athlete too, right? You're talking about the major stars. Will that have an effect on the way people view them? You know, there's all these outside pressures. But having said that, it is technically a choice. So if they're going, and the hard part is, and this is where I feel for, and I obviously hope this doesn't happen, but if someone breaks protocol and breaks quarantine and brings the coronavirus into the bubble, they didn't make a choice to get coronavirus from some idiot, right? So that's where my fear is a little bit, where it's like they're choosing to follow the guidelines. But for those that are not mature enough to follow the guidelines, which I hope does not happen, that's where the choice part gets a little conflicting.
Yeah. Did you know that somebody has already broken quarantine?
Yeah, it was accidentally.
It was a member of the Houston Rockets, a backup forward / center, Bruno
Caboclo.
Thank you. I needed help with the last name. Yeah. He has not played very much. He is a backup. But he violated quarantine protocols by leaving his hotel room during the 2-day quarantine, right? Like, you cannot leave your room. And he has. So now, Genius Lessons has to go to a 10-day quarantine. So, okay, that's according to the Houston Chronicle. So what you did air quotes for accidentally. I saw the Houston Chronicle story, but is there more to this?
No, that's what it was released. Oh, they said okay. He accidentally broke quarantine. And
by leaving his hotel room.
And please define what accidentally means.
I mean, maybe, okay, we gave him the benefit of the doubt. He really wanted to play some ping pong or something in the players' lounge. Like, maybe he didn't understand how strict the quarantine in your room was. Maybe he stayed in the hotel, but okay. I don't want to slam the guy too hard, but we've already had somebody break that, and we've already had somebody say, oh, I didn't know, whoops. Okay, sanctity of the bubble. I'm also following a lot of reporters who are down there. Mark Medina is down there. Warriors fans might remember Mark Medina. There's a collection of other folks. And I saw something that was really insightful from Joe Varden. He writes for The Athletic. Do you want to go over what it's going to be like for reporters there?
Sure.
Because I think fans are curious about what kind of stories are they going to get coming out of this bubble when fans can't be there and not a lot of reporters can be there. So what are you actually going to see? What kind of behind the scenes, you know, stories are we going to get? And Varden explained that the best among us are sidlers. Is that how you say that word? Sidlers, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
It's where you saddle up next to somebody. It's where you kind of like walk along the tunnel and you're like, hey, do you have a minute? And you get something other reporters don't have. He said, you know, if you're a sidler, it's that honed skill of scooting up next to a great player or a famous coach or a GM. You have a private conversation and you get this scoop. That's what the best reporters do. They differentiate their stories by getting the stuff that, you know, getting the quotes you don't hear on the podium, right?
Yep.
Not only are those conversations outlawed in the bubble by banishment, he says, any conversation reporters have with the player or coach will be part of a formal interview that would be broadcast over Zoom to the dozen reporters who aren't there. And locker rooms are strictly off limits. He said the virus changed everything, and I get it. So I think for us, like, Monty Poole is really good at this. Logan Murdoch is really good at this. I like to think I'm a little good at it, but those two especially. You have those private conversations, so you tell stories that nobody else has. We can't do that here. Everything is going to be distilled via Zoom, and you can't go into a locker room because you can't get close to guys, and they want that to be a private area. So the stories, I think, are going to look pretty homogenous. Now, that doesn't mean reporters can't text guys. Phone calls exist. You know, you can get that kind of stuff. But I think we're going to see a lot of sameness in the stories coming out. Or, just a little inside baseball here, stories that players and teams want to come out will be fed to reporters. Interesting.
That is definitely true. Now, the one thing I was thinking about in terms of texts and phone calls, these guys might be really bored in their rooms at some point. Yeah. You might get more stuff coming out of texts and phone calls than you'd expect at this point. You know, a couple weeks into it, you're sitting there on your bed and you're flipping through the Disney channels. And you're like, I'm going to text Monty Poole right now and tell him how I think about things, you know?
I think maybe a millennial will be more inclined to take a phone call. When was the last time I took a non-family member phone call?
Yeah.
Just, I avoid them, definitely.
Yeah, the number you don't know coming through.
Hello? You're like, screen. Yeah. One cool thing coming out of this is how much players are doing their own storytelling, just like via their Instagram or Twitter. Most of them are on Instagram, and they want to tell those stories. You know, like, they're showing you what they're doing in their room or what they're eating or like how they're pranking other guys. And that's really cool that they have the agency to like just share their own things, because there's going to be a void. What kind of behind the scenes things are we going to see? Well, it's what the players decide. But so far, it's cool. Like the guy from the 76ers, Matisse Thybulle. There you go. He made a video. He made like a 9-minute video. You know, so guys are in their rooms like editing stuff, or they're watching movies, or Patrick Beverley showed everybody how many like white tees he brought. You know, guys are. I love seeing this kind of personality. And they can reveal that too. They don't necessarily need reporters to do it.
I'm completely on board. Now, it can backfire. So you know how everyone's talking about the bubble food, and I get it. Those pictures are showing they're not used to having food like that. I get it. Especially for you're a pro athlete. I do understand. Like, sure, people are like, "Well, I eat worse meals than that." But if you're playing on your activity level like that and everything, you need. We'll see about the meals, but where it backfired was and. I'll bring up his name in a second for a different reason. Rajon Rondo put out a picture of his hotel room and called it like Motel 6 or something like that, like as if it's bad. And everyone's like, I'm sorry.
Pretty nice room.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad of a room. Everyone's like, oh, I'm sorry that room's not good enough for you. You need some, you know, 5-star hotel. My apologies, Rajon. But that's where it can backfire. So you don't want to seem too like, this is beneath me type thing, because people are like, well, doesn't look that bad. And, you know, you're making millions of dollars to be there. So I don't feel that bad for you.
Yes. Be very careful when you complain about your steak that's sitting in a styrofoam container when other people, my guy, are not eating steak. Yes.
Right. Yeah, especially during these times.
I guess you can make note of standards that you're not accustomed to, but then everybody else who would love those standards is going to look at you like you're a supreme a-hole.
Yeah, exactly. Be like, what do they call it? First world problems or whatever.
First world problems.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess on a less humorous tone, Rajon Rondo fractured his thumb, and he's going to have surgery. Could be out 6 to 8 weeks. If you're a Warriors fan, you know how long fractures in hands can last. And it's devastating for a team that already lost Avery Bradley because he opted out. And then you have Rajon. So those guys accounted for a lot of minutes in the backcourt. And the reason I bring this up primarily, Kareth, is because there is a guard on the Lakers that might get a little extra action now by the name of Quinn Cook.
Quinn Cook! That's, you know what, he has earned his moments on every team, and his readiness will make him an asset. So if he does get more minutes, that's really cool. I will be cheering for Quinn Cook. Or how about Caruso? On the headband, Alex Caruso getting more minutes there. This is not what the Lakers anticipated, but you got to do what you got to do. And for Rondo, if it's 6 to 8 weeks – That is 2 months max, hopefully, if everything recovers well. But if the Lakers are going to make the finals, Rondo could be back for that. So interesting. Now, I wonder, would he want to stay in the bubble or go home and then have to re-quarantine to come back in? I actually kind of wonder what his options are, because I heard if a player leaves the bubble, that is permanent. But maybe I had heard wrong, or maybe those things have changed. If you've got like a long-term injury, and I would say 6 to 8 months is a long-term injury. Sorry, 6 to 8 weeks
yeah.
is a long-term injury. I wonder if he can go.
He has to leave because he's getting surgery. So unless a surgeon's coming into the bubble, I don't know how that works.
I don't know either.
That's a good question. Actually, that'd be really funny if they have like a surgery room in Disney World set up now.
It's actually just Mickey Mouse that walks in. Okay, are you ready?
A scalpel. Yeah. That's actually a nightmare of mine.
But, here's your Mickey Mouse.
But no, I think, I don't know. I assume he has to leave. Yeah, I'm sure they don't just.
I mean, they have to have medical facilities on the bubble though, but sure. I don't know. There's a surgical suite? I don't know. Yeah, he's got to leave, right?
Isn't Dr. James Andrews, and he does a lot of tears and stuff, but I think a lot of people are located in Atlanta and stuff, so maybe it's, Alabama? I don't know. The point is, it used to be New York. The point is, you might have to leave. I'm assuming in terms of just working out, you want to be there because you do all the team workouts and then you are being trained by your own staff there.
Yeah.
But he could be, if the timeline holds up, he could be available by the semifinals or finals. So it's a big loss. And people, when they don't have a name of LeBron James or Anthony Davis or something, go, oh, whatever, it's Rajon Rondo. But just think about all the Warriors teams that needed that extra depth. You know, imagine if Sean Livingston was hurt for 2 months of a playoff run and everything. It's a big deal.
Yeah, no, and as we talk about, you know, who's injured or who is positive for coronavirus, I know, like, Russ has it. Oh, my gosh, that's a big name. We were wondering, does James Harden have it? But every single player who gets this virus matters. And I know there's, like, tiers of big names versus bench guys, but we have to care about everybody who has this.
Yep.
I just wanted to make that point, and I wasn't saying that you weren't. And now I've kind of lost.
I hate everyone that besides the superstars. All of them get no. Yeah, yeah. That'll be something to play out. You know, when people go, if Bruno Caboclo did, you know, God forbid, get coronavirus because he walked out of his room, people wouldn't be like, shut down the league. But if you know, one of the bigger name people get it, then there'd be different calls. Everyone wants to. I'm going to use the word. Everyone wants to put an asterisk by everything, and it depends on who the person is that gets sick or whatever. But if you want to talk asterisks, it just made it infinitely harder for the Lakers when they've just lost Avery Bradley, Rajon Rondo. They're going through this, and they might have to rely on J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters.
Give more minutes to J.R. Smith. That's
all. I'm in.
Just J.R. Smith this championship.
Count me in. I'd be remiss not to say this, and I have to bring it up. You saw that tweet that went out? On social media.
All you had to say was, did you see that tweet? Yes. Okay, how do I explain this to listeners who might not have seen it?
So a young woman tweeted out she was laughing about it, but she said how someone already, an NBA player, already invited her into the bubble.
Somebody has requested her company,
requested her company, and she was laughing out, this is all going to fail. About the NBA. Mm. And so now, obviously, we don't know if the player asked in jest or if it was just messing around. You know, we don't know.
If this is even true.
If this is true, it was just a very funny anecdote considering that, you know, everyone's speculating on how well quarantine and all this can hold up and the bubble can hold up. And that, I mean, you and I have joked, like, that's, you have young guys in a bubble that might be, you know,
right, who are used to levels of companionship.
Yes, companionship.
Yeah. Look, everybody has needs. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how or if those are fulfilled.
Right, and it's just funny. When that came out, it was worth a laugh. It was worth a laugh. I know it's a very serious matter. Everything's very serious, but a little points of levity, that was funny.
Man, okay, so the Warriors aren't going. We should check in with the Warriors. What's the best way to do it? I mean, were you following along with Steph playing golf in Tahoe?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. That was awesome. It's just good to see like people happy.
Yeah. Jumping in lakes.
It looks so refreshing, by the way. That lake is freezing. Absolutely freezing.
Oh man.
But it's so hot up there, it probably is fine. But like they just jump in so casually and it's like hee hee hee. But like if I did that, I would be out of breath, like, and I would be like for a little bit.
Your shirt would be cutting little holes, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very pointy cold.
Exactly.
Steph also took part in one of NBC's Race in America conversations, which we're really thankful for. That I don't know crap when this podcast comes out, but that conversation airs Monday. That's tonight at 5 o'clock. I imagine there will be a few episodes and they will be re-aired. So thank you to Steph for taking part in the conversation. It was also really cool to see him wearing shoes that had Breonna Taylor's face on them. He said, "We cannot forget this woman." So Steph's feeling it. He's doing his part to keep some conversations alive. Steph also said something about how, you know, maybe the crumminess of a 15-win season could turn into a blessing in disguise for next season. And he mentioned the fact that the Warriors still have their core, Steph, Clay, Draymond. Maybe Kevon Looney is part of that. Maybe Andrew Wiggins becomes a part of that core. But the realities of this season forced guys via their injuries to rest, that's mentally and physically, and just recover. And maybe recalibrate a little bit if we're dropping all these R words to get ready for next season, to just have a freshness to them, to get that hunger and competitive spirit back.
Yeah. No, I would like to believe that that's just the scenario and everyone wants to say glass half full. That's the truth. But like it actually has legitimacy if everyone stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of the story. By the way, I don't know if you can hear in the background little yips, but one of the dogs is having a doggy dream right now, and I think it's running. Yeah, I have a couple dogs sitting over here, so
I cannot hear it, but I can picture it now.
Yeah, oh. Now the other dog's checking on the other dog. It's a lot happening over here, so
okay.
Apologize for any distraction, but the point is that if you can come back well rested, and it's hard always saying and healthy because that's literally the difference between them being contenders and not contenders. But they can come back healthy, well rested. Yes, this season could be the biggest blessing in disguise. We'll find out in a few years. It's mm-hmm. one of those situations. You can't judge the D'Angelo trade for a few years. You can't figure out the Kevin Durant leaving for a few years. There's a lot of things that people don't want to be patient about. They would rather make a decision right now, but these things we will find out. And if they come back and the Warriors have that thirst and that fire and they come back fresh legs and now are every regular season game they take in, you know, and they really fight. Yeah, that's a blessing in disguise because it probably wouldn't have been like that if they had to go through a grueling season and then be in Orlando right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're talking about guys who are over 30 now, or has Clay already had his 30th birthday?
No.
I don't recall, but you're talking about, I know Steph has, I feel like Clay has, oh, he did. It was this year, but we didn't get to see it because he was injured. That's right.
Yeah.
Draymond, you know, getting up there too, as far as athlete years. I don't mean it like that. They're not old, but
so old.
When it comes to maintaining bodies, you see the care that the Warriors try to put into that. It's one of the reasons why they hired Dr. Rick Celebrini. He was somebody who worked with Steve Nash to elongate the end of his career to keep, you know, the miles on his legs. Feeling as good as possible. So they care about preserving who they have and extending the length of their careers and forcing them to rest, you know, via these injuries, as unfortunate as they were, could pay dividends down the road when it comes to, you know, extra years on their career. That's really worthwhile. That's important.
Yeah, it's interesting when you say the ages of people. And obviously, when you look at sports, that's ancient. You know, Andre Iguodala is an ancient vet on the Warriors the last few years. He was like 33 and 34. But, and this is, may come as a shock to you, Kareth. I'm not a pro athlete. That's not something that I have going for me right now. I know. You're. It's been.
I'm zooming in. I'm just getting a good look at you.
It's a lot to take in. But I mean, it's a real thing. As you get older, things just don't feel as good anymore. Like my knees or something. It's not like I'm like limping around everywhere, but you know, when I go play basketball or something like that, yeah, things take a little bit longer to recover. I just turned 33. I just want everyone to know how old I am. You know, I'll give you my weight and social security number soon, but yeah, I mean, at 33 years old, I feel my body feels a little different. It feels good, but like, I get it. It's like a real thing. Just think about waking up in the morning, you know, as you get older, it's just, you're not as spry when you get up in the morning. I don't know. I don't know if people needed a lesson from me. I think this, it just in case for every 20-year-old listening right now, just, this is another example.
Well, now it's kind of like put the demands of 82 regular season games and playoff games, you know, year after year on your body. No, I totally understand your point. And we actually asked Damian Lee about this on a previous Run in Place podcast contest. I don't know.
Contest.
And it was like, what does it mean to stay healthy when fluky things can happen in a game, right? You don't control when you tear your ACL. So what does it mean to stay healthy? And he said there were three things: your own strength, your own conditioning, and your own nutrition are things that can help you. Those are what you can control, and the fluky things will hopefully happen at like a lesser rate. So
how many of those things do you control, Kara?
Do I, all of them? What are you talking about? My strength all the time. My conditioning all the time. Yeah, for sure. Nutrition. No. I do like cookies a lot, but everything in moderation. So
No, for sure. I control those things too. Absolutely. No breaking away from any of that.
Impulse control. Real good. Yeah. Especially during quarantine, you know, I haven't been sad or depressed at all. I haven't been watching the television or mindlessly snacking.
Right. Actually, true story, Kareth. The one thing I have picked up on, and this is just, I don't know, I feel like it's just sharing all my inside information, personal stuff. I've started doing those, not starting, I've been doing it pretty much this whole quarantine, like the in-home workouts. Like I've gone on like on the Amazon Prime and kind of just thrown one of those. Fantastic stuff. They really just keep you in check for, you know, 5 days a week, 15 minutes, pop it out, and you don't feel as crappy about your life.
That's great. No, it's good. It's nice to know where the free ones are because I'm an epic cheapskate. I'm still using the free Peloton app, which is amazing. I don't have a Peloton, but I like the app a lot. And yeah, little check-ins, little things to keep yourself disciplined because I used to really like going to spin classes. I don't know the next time I'm going to allow myself to step foot in a gym, especially like an enclosed space, like a spin studio, where you're right next to other people, everybody's breathing heavy, and that's like precisely what the CDC says you don't want to do in an enclosed space. So I don't know, like, what are you thinking about this? Were you part of a gym, and are you ever going to go to a gym again?
I will again. It just comes down to, you know, for me, I'm thinking, when's the next time I play pickup basketball? I used to play 3 or 4 times a week before COVID, and now I don't know when the next time, and that's just, you know, everyone has their own thing. Like maybe people are foodies and they just loved going to restaurants and everything. And when are you going to be able to get back in these routines? Will I volunteer that any chance I do get when they get a vaccine or something, will I get back in there? Probably. I'll just jump straight back in. But until then, it's just working out at home and having, every time I go down for a push-up, having dogs attack me.
That sounds lovely. With anything.
Yeah, I mean, it is in there's worse things.
I'm trying to imagine pickup now. I wouldn't imagine it's going to be full court right away.
Everyone's going to be lagging.
But at least you're out there. Yeah. Good job. We've covered a lot. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on?
There were some good articles that came out.
There was the one with Clay where he said, he was in the Anta commercial. He said a message to his fans. He was speaking specifically to the ones in China, but all fans apply here. He said his mind and body are 100% ready to get back on the court. And I believe it.
Garrett, this is if you watch the advertisements that a lot of these athletes do for their sponsorships in China or in the Eastern part of the world, as they call it, you know, there's something really genuinely positive the way these messages are relayed. It's not, I don't know, there's just a good vibe you get from it. It's so just genuinely kind of happy. And I like the way a lot of these advertisements are for, you know, for Chinese companies and everything, as compared to here, you know, they're maybe more dramatic and theatrical. I don't know, there's something just really genuinely happy the way Clay delivers his message, and it just brings you positivity. I kind of liked it.
Is it a China clay thing? Because I'm trying to determine why a message would be different in a different place. But we know China clay is one of the best clays. China clay and like headband clay.
Right.
And game six clay are my favorite clays.
I think it just in different cultures and societies, there's different messaging in the way things come across and the way they you know, film stuff or direct stuff. And I think a lot of the messaging, if you watch any of their, any sometimes cartoons or whatever thing, there's a lot of, you know, high energy, positivity, smiling and stuff. And I actually kind of like it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just searching for positivity right now. Maybe it's just a China clay thing, but from what I've seen, it's just good natured. I like it.
Positivity is entirely cool with me. I like any sort of message Clay wants to put out. He's like an all time favorite teammate of any warrior who's come through here. I love when Zaza tells Clay stories. And I want to see Clay. Like, this whole season has just been like, he's been around, right? He has been on the bench. I see him in the tunnel a little bit. But I guess I miss talking to him. Yeah. He's got some really interesting things to say. He loves the basketball questions, too. I think he loves studying other players, talking about their games. And he's got a really fresh view about the game. He's great to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't need to be in, you know, ads for Anta to feel good about talking to Clay.
Well, ads for Anta.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I don't get any of that money. But listening to Clay, I think that's the one thing this quarantine and everything's been missing, some Clay Thompson. Maybe he's waiting. He's waiting to bring it out and just be like, yeah. I'm here, I'm back. Steph style.
Yeah. I miss sports. Sports are coming back. I mean.
10 days. Well, by the time this airs, 9 days until baseball. 11 days until WNBA, and then I can't do the math, 16 days until NBA, so.
Yeah, end of the month, and then, like, Major League Soccer is back. I was watching
MLS.
Soccer.
Yep.
Golf is back. I was watching a game last night where Sporting KC had the lead, like, the bulk of the game. Then their keeper got a red card. The backup keeper came in, had an own goal, and then let up another goal. In the 97th minute,
no.
And they lost. And I was like, oh my God, sports are nuts. And it was nice just to have a game on in my living room.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
well, this was nice. This is a nice love fest.
Yes.
I love this podcast with you. Yeah,
we're having fun, aren't we?
There you go. All right, buddy. I think we covered a lot today. Why don't we wrap it up? Thank you guys for listening. We know, you know, we get to analyze our numbers. We know we have a dedicated and loyal group of listeners. We really appreciate them. My mother is one of them, by the way. But she says hi.
Hi. She's
doing a great job. Yeah. And we really appreciate you guys listening. Every podcast, we see the numbers. We know things are growing. So we appreciate you. Please rate us. Please subscribe. Please keep giving us your feedback on social media or elsewhere. We appreciate you. And we'll be back with a new episode of the Run and Plays podcast soon.
All right. Thanks, Derek.